Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome to an hour of Mind of Power. We have a guest, Lori Beck, that we are trying to reach at this time, and we will just keep moving along. But she wrote the book, I Am Living to Tell. So right now what we're going to do is just move forward with the Donna Sebo Show. And I wanted to start off with a thought, and I thought it was just so appropriate with springtime. Remy Gourmand is a man that wrote this. He said, the ever-present phenomena ceases to exist for our senses. It was a city dweller or a prisoner or a blind man suddenly given his sight who first noted natural beauty. And I think it's all perception by the individual. What is beautiful? My goodness, sometimes we, from our own paradigms, whatever we might be existing within, have ideas about what is beautiful. And sometimes what our perception of beauty is really distorts maybe what we could see otherwise. And I think one of the greatest examples of that was a Twilight Zone program. And whenever you have a chance to watch these old shows, it's just absolutely amazing what the writers come up with. And there was one program I remember watching a number of years ago, and it involved these strange-looking people. I mean, their faces were just grotesque. And they were dressed, some of the characters were dressed in nurses' outfits, and this was in a hospital setting. And in this hospital setting, they were just bemoaning the fact that they had tried doing surgery on someone, and it just absolutely didn't work. And this grouping of people within the establishment, they go and they unwrap the face of this individual that is supposed to be so ugly. And it's a drop-dead gorgeous woman that they show the face of. But the point was, here she was, she had so much beauty, but those around her had this hideous distortion, which in their mind they perceived as beauty. When they tried to change her, it didn't work. So the aspect of beauty truly is in the eye of the beholder. And I always remembered that Twilight Zone program. And I think, again, when it comes to beauty, it is something that we interpret in our own way. And I really find it's a lot of fun to go through life and to observe people's paradigms. Why do they have them? Have you ever questioned that? Have you ever questioned yourself? Wondered why you've adopted certain attitudes? Boy, I can remember when I was growing up, and I think this is with every culture, you're admonished by your parents that you're supposed to do things a certain way. Now, that's very natural because in a social environment, there are things we're supposed to learn. Some people learn them if their parents are aware of them. Others don't. And I've often said what we are not willing to learn from those around us, we're going to learn from life itself. So there are all of these things that we're indoctrinated with. And at some point, we have to learn how to question. But how many of you were raised with an attitude of children are to be seen and not heard? I'll raise my hand on that one. How many of you, whenever you expressed diverse opinions or observations, were sort of slapped down? I was. Well, what happens when this occurs? And it occurs verbally, sometimes physically, emotionally. It can come in many different forms. There comes a point where, as an individual, you have to say, wait a minute, I've got to question things. Just imagine how dull and uninteresting life would be if chefs never experienced or tried different ways of doing things. How dull and boring this world would be if we hadn't looked at what we could do to make situations better. Now, in the truth of it all, we human beings have managed to muck up a great deal, too. However, a lot of the conveniences and a lot of the things we have today around in our lives we take for granted came about because someone, somewhere, male or female, said there has to be a better way of doing this. How can we make improvements? Medicine, food production, living environments, and it's always an ongoing process. So we, again, I think the point of the quote is someone awakened to a perception. And that's what you need to know about yourself. You too can awaken to a new perception, a new paradigm. Whatever your challenges might be, whatever you are facing in front of you that you don't have a clue about where you're going to be going from here, if you feel like you're stuck, welcome it as an opportunity. Now, that may sound a little Pollyannish, but if you welcome it, you're going to be way ahead of the game. Welcome it as an opportunity. Know and recognize the opportunity and realize that something is going to come out of this. And for heaven's sakes, don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid. By the way, I don't know if in your area there is an opportunity. For those of you that might be looking for work, let me share something with you that I just became aware of here in the state of Washington. And I would encourage you to check it out. If you know of anybody that's looking for work that really would like to be able to develop new skills, here in the state of Washington, we have a grouping of people associated with an organization called WorkSource. WorkSource. And you can check it out, WorkSource.com. Now, I don't know how many other states at this time this might be involved with, but with this particular organization. But I found out they have free lessons to anyone. There's no discrimination here. You don't have to belong to their group or anything else. On LinkedIn, Facebook, how to get a resume, how to do an interview. There's all of this information. So check it out. You might be wonderfully surprised at a venue that allows you to, one, upgrade your skills, and two, to integrate with a whole new environment that may even provide a job opportunity for you. So I just thought I'd pass that along to you today because I just learned about this a week ago. And I learned about this through a friend. Isn't it amazing how we can chat with someone and they will say, well, don't you know about this? And you'll go, I've never heard of it. Is that a surprise? No. One of the best networks in the world is the human network. Someone knows something somewhere, but I'll go full circle. You have to ask a question. Many times people have knowledge and information that maybe you have never had access to because, one, maybe you didn't know how to ask the right question, and two, you didn't even know what was in your own neighborhood. I found out about a food bank in our neighborhood just a few years ago that I didn't even know existed. Never heard anything about it, didn't see any promotion for it, but we're all pretty busy people, aren't we? So check around in your own environment. Check with your state offices. See what might be available that you can utilize. Don't be afraid to find out what might be waiting for you in the way of opportunity. Well, my guest, Lori Beck, apparently we're just not able to reach her, and so we shall wait to hear from her. I hope she's able to call in. But regardless, telephone lines are now open, 888-627-6008. So if you want to call in and chat with me today, those phone lines are open now, 888-627-6008. Also, I want to let those of you that are listening from Alaska, I am going to be coming up to the far north. It's going to be towards the end of this month and part of May. So as soon as I get everything solidified, I will be letting you know, but I'm in the process of doing that right now. I wanted to share with you a story about Charles Dickens. Ah, yes, this wonderful author that, well, he didn't live a very long life, but his legacy has been phenomenal. And we're going to step back in time to October 31st, 1873. And it is about a story that Charles Dickens wrote at that time called The Mystery of Edwin Drood. Now, it appeared in all of the then bookstores in America. And he wrote the first six chapters while he was alive. And you're going to love this. And the last six after he was dead. I know, that's a bit strange. But let me tell you how this happened. You're going to say, Donna, get real. Six chapters after he was dead? Oh, come on. Well, this is what happened. A famous mystery writer, Wilkie Collins, had challenged his friend, Charles Dickens, to try a new genre. The novel was serialized in 12 monthly installments by a magazine that was published in Britain. And then it was shipped to America. The first time in Dickens' writing career, he had insisted on a contract stating that his heirs would receive royalties if he should die. Now, Dickens passed away halfway through writing this fascinating story. 3 years later in Vermont, there was a gentleman. He was quite young. His name was Thomas James. He was they called him a capricious young man. He moved into a boarding house that was owned by a woman who was a spiritualist. In October 1872, after a year of attending seances in the parlor of this woman's home that he boarded in, James said he had been contacted by the spirit of Charles Dickens, who asked him to let himself be used by Dickens to finish The Mystery of Edwin Drood. This is what happened. The landlady gave James free room and board until the book was complete. Those people that were present during the seance testified that this young man would go into long trances and write furiously, saying that he was taking down dictation that Charles Dickens was given to him. Well, you can imagine, nobody's going to keep their mouth shut about that. How could you? Especially if you were witnessing it. You'd get all excited because you would find out about what was going on. Newspapers got a hold of this story, and they just laughed at James. They said, this is hilarious. They made fun of him. They accused him of fraud. They said, the book is never going to be done. However, it did get done, and it was attributed to the spirit pen of Charles Dickens. Now, this made tremendous controversy. You can just imagine the press, all kinds of environments within the society of the 1800s. We're having a field day with this because they said this isn't authentic. The mystery solution, no, this is all right. There were scholars that had discourses on this, each arguing their case based on clues found in the working notes left behind by Dickens and the vignettes on the cover of the monthly installments. People were just having a great time. Well, it received so much attention, you can imagine. The case was investigated by a very, very famous man. Ah, yes, and you'll all recognize his name, Arthur Conan Doyle. Now, as we all know, Mr. Doyle created Sherlock Holmes, and Doyle said, when he interviewed James, read the material, that James did not have the mental agility to complete the novel without help. So, Arthur Conan Doyle said, it's the real thing. Isn't it amazing how things evolve, how situations occur, and the mysterious comes into play? Donna Sebo here, my guest today. We've not been able to reach, so phone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener, I'm so delighted that you have joined us. And if you want to call in, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, you're welcome to ask a question when I finish giving you my insights and information. You're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Now, the newsletter went out yesterday, last night, and so many of you that have received it, I hope that you enjoy it. And I want to mention, should you have a story or a special recipe, if you've got a family recipe that is absolutely a winner, why don't you send along to me, and I'll be glad to include it in my newsletter. Now, yesterday, I was telling you about a very, very special young woman by the name of Hannah. And we got a caller, and time went by, and I wasn't able to share with you the entire story. So I wanted to share Hannah's story, because we never know how, when, where, or why we will be motivated to take a step into the unknown and do something that absolutely will blossom in unexpected ways. And that's exactly what happened with Hannah. Now, Hannah, as a young woman, she had moved from a community in Westchester, Massachusetts, to New York City. She was looking for a job, and like every young person, her eyes were just filled with wonder at the big city she'd moved into. And she was all excited about being in the big city. This was really something for her that was a major accomplishment. Well, if you've ever been to New York City, it can be overwhelming. There is so much going on. I mean, the pace in New York is unbelievable. She was excited about starting a new life, but it didn't take long for her to reach the feeling, after having the anticipation of adventure, the feeling of overwhelm. Wow. She was literally feeling like she was drowning. She just didn't know what to do. Millions of people around her. She was 22 years old, and she had never felt more lost, more alone.
Caller line three.
We have a situation here that many of us encounter. We've got a caller on the line. I'm going to pause in Hannah's story here, and I'll pick it up afterwards. Remember, you can call in at 888-627-6008. Let's show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show when you call in. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Linda.
Hi, Linda. Where are you calling in from? And your voice is very faint.
Bainbridge Island, Washington.
Oh, great. Okay. Hope the sun's shining where you are. Over here, it's all gray and foggy and looks like it's going to rain.
We have sun here.
Okay. First thing, Linda, that I am looking at here is don't kick the can. That's the image that I'm getting. You need to have patience with what is going on, because what I am seeing, it's like a lot of debris. I'm getting an image of you standing. There's this tin can in front of you. The urge is to kick it, and I'm seeing all kinds of small pieces of debris. Not big pieces, just little pieces. And it appears to me, instead of kicking it, you know, those little tiny pieces, which are symbolic in my mind's view of unfinished business, need to be picked up. Don't kick the can out of frustration. Take care of those little items that need to be picked up, and if they have to be put in the trash, fine. If you need to collect them for any reason, you want to give them away, fine. But you've got to clear up the stuff that is around. Don't kick the can. Thank you.
All right.
And so this is very important for you to do, and I just want to say we have got our guest, Lori, and we'll be with her in just a moment. But what I wanted to say to you, Linda, is just take care of the little stuff. Don't get impatient, because it is going to serve you well if you take care of the smaller things first. Now, what I'm looking at also is a need for you to be aware. Timing is significant. Pay attention. Keep the rhythm of activity going, and your timing will work out very, very well. Do you have a quick question for me?
I was wondering how one approaches writing a book.
Well, there's many different ways of doing
kind
it.
Kind of a general question, but...
Right. What I would say is the best way to start is just start writing. If you wanted to do a how-to book, if you wanted to write a novel, just get a tablet, a journal, and write down what you're thinking, what you're feeling. Don't worry about trying to conceptualize chapters or anything else. Just write down what you're feeling. What's coming into your head? What are your ideas? And then you can go about afterwards, as you continue to write, write out what you really feel, that will come together what you see as a package that you want to put into the book. And I want to thank you for your call, Linda.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Have a wonderful day. This is Donna Sebo, and I understand we have our guest, Lori Beck, and her book is I'm Living to Tell. Hello, Lori.
Hello.
Hello. Listen, I'm going to take a break now so that we can have our chat. Lori Beck has written a phenomenal story about herself, and it's titled I Am Living to Tell. So what I want to do, I want to take a break now so that we can chat with Lori and be able to spend time with her and really hear her story without interruption. Lori, will you stay with me?
Absolutely.
All right. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, and we're going to be back with Lori in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome back. Lori Beck is on the line with me. Her book, I'm Living to Tell, is a profound story about a woman who is in her 40s. She's very successful. She has what would be considered an idyllic life and environment. She's very happy with what's going on. However, her life takes a dramatic turn. Lori Beck, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It is a delight. Lori, you are a woman that is, well, you're filled with passion about life because you, well, you've always had it. But because you've walked a particular journey and made choices that a lot of people, well, and I quote a friend of mine, would be afraid to venture towards because it represented the unknown. Tell us what happened to you when you were in your early 40s.
Well, I can give you the long version or the short version, but to make it simple, at the age of 42, I started having some unusual symptoms occurring in my body, and I wasn't sure exactly what was going on, but I knew that something was off balance, and it started with a rash that kept occurring under kind of my right breast, And I went to the doctor and checked it out, and they said, oh, that's just some kind of dermatitis, and they gave me some lotion. Put that on, went about my daily business. Then I had another symptom, which was I started feeling tired all the time, and again, I didn't know. I thought, I teach Pilates, I work with a lot of clients, maybe I'm just tired from that. I'd come home and I'd be in bed from 1 o'clock on. Then I'd wake up and I was still tired. So I had a series of things. I had about five crucial things that I kept kind of ignoring, but I justified mm-hmm. them and thought this is just part of being, owning a business, being a mother, you know, being responsible, and just kind of brushed them aside. And then the final was when I had three lumps rolling down the back of my neck, and I thought, okay, those are new. What are those from? And, well, really, I also had lumps up in my armpits because I was doing my breast exam. And that's when I said, okay, something's probably not good. Mm-hmm. And I thought I just had mono. So went to the doctor again, but this time I decided to go to an internist. And he said, Lori, we should do some blood work. I said, okay. And, you know, from that way, like I said, I thought I just had mono, no big deal. And 3 days later, my results came back, and he said, well, you know, this is not, it's a little bit worse than we thought, and you potentially have leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, how is that possible? I thought I was just going to the doctor for mono. And from there, that's when the journey really began, because it just didn't seem possible. Here I teach wellness, I take care of people, I eat healthy, but I didn't realize that there were a lot of unhealthy things going on in my life.
You know, Lori, I think it always takes courage to be able to speak up and speak out about what we learn. It is so often in life we take this isolationist position. We're going to be long-suffering. And I have nothing but a wonderful compliment for you, because you have taken the integrity of yourself and put it out there for anybody to read and to review. And I'm going to quote exactly from your book. It's right on the first page of your introduction. You said, you had no idea how badly poisoned my body was, and even worse, how much emotional baggage I was carrying around with me all the time. I think mm-hmm. that you, in this book, you give such a gift because, one, when this happened, we logically try to figure out, just like you did, what is it? What's going on here? This doesn't make sense. I'm doing what is, quote-unquote, the right thing to do. I'm eating the right stuff. I'm doing the right stuff. And here I am, diagnosed. I'm given a label about a disease. Why is it happening to me? I mean, this is a very, very human response. And one of the things with your book, you said your story, you hope, will inspire those that read it to listen to their inner voice, to let go, and to truly love themselves so that they can live. Now, those are very powerful words, and someone who might be listening to the show right now might be in a situation where they're suffering. I have a very dear friend. I remember when she was diagnosed with lymphoma and her saying to me, I am so terrified, and she's gone in for extreme medical treatments. She's frightened. She was just so terribly frightened, and what she's gone through, and it's still there. And this is something where you started questioning the modalities that were presented to you, and you started really doing what I call a self-examination, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, you'd done it physically. Why do you think, what was it inside of you that made you challenge what was presented to you in the way of therapy?
I think that's a very key question that, first of all, when you read what you read, it I mean, I got chill bumps because I do live what you just read. But here's where what was so critical in part of my journey was I did go to the first doctor. And, you know, from the blood work, it said leukemia. But then when I did the actual true testing, you know, it came back non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
But it was considered rare, and because we don't see this in women your age. But I'm hearing, oh, yes, we are seeing more and more. Why are we seeing more and more of this? Stress plays mm-hmm. a huge, huge part. So the first doctor, being, you know, cancer doctor, said, well, we need to do immediate chemo. And I'm listening, and I'm hearing his reasons why. And I said, well, how many cases like mine have you seen? How many have you worked with? And he said, well, realistically, only 5 in 15 years. Thought, okay, that doesn't sound good. The blessing in all of this was that I heard from my mother, Lori, we need to get a second opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I would not probably, you know, I may not have done that. And what happened was then we went to his fellow doctor, and he said, oh, yeah, this is what you have, immediate chemo, get yourself together. And my mom said, please come up to Boston. And we went to the top lymphoma specialist, and that's when he said, well, with what you have, chemo at this point might create an adverse effect because your immune system is so compromised.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to educate myself, and I needed to become responsible and start learning and be part of the team of decision-making.
Wow, now that is a big statement. And that's the statement that I think is so significant. Responsibility, I need to be part of the team. I need to be in charge. And I'm finding more and more people wanting to take that positioning. But again, like my very dear friend, I'm scared because we often want to put people up on a pedestal. And I think anyone who is a sincere, caring professional in the medical field, the first thing they'll say is, I don't know everything. I'll give you what I know at this point in time, because it's always an ongoing adventure. But so many in the medical field have their own paradigms of attitudes, experience, whatever it may be, good, bad, or indifferent. And it really is a challenge because a patient can feel so overwhelmed. So I think you're so fortunate that you had a mother that said, first, get another opinion. Just don't buy into this. Get another opinion. Now, there's another side of the story that I think is important to share. Your husband's mother had 37 treatments of radiation for lung cancer. Now, she'd been a heavy smoker. She got lung cancer. And the after effect is that the cancer metastasized. It moved into her brain. And so your husband, emotionally, I mean, here he's had his mother going through this situation, and then his wife is found out to have cancer. This really was very hard on him.
Yes. It happened almost consecutively, where she got her diagnosis. He was taking her for her last radiation treatment. I end up going to the doctor. I come home, and I look at him, and when she got her last treatment, I said, you're just not going to believe what I'm going to tell you right now, but I potentially have cancer. On that same day when they were reading her results, that's right, she found out she had brain cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think my husband looked at me like, is this a joke? Are you, you know, what's really going on here? And it was a very crazy time in our life.
I bet. Let's talk about some physiological effects. You were having pain. Now, one of the first steps that you took was you said, I know from reading people can deal with pain. We women are unbelievable with it. I can remember situations, I ignore pain. And it's something women seem to learn. I think once you have kids, it even gets more so. But
it's true.
You just ignore it. You sort of detach. You disassociate from it. And that can be good, and it can be not so good. You started implementing that because you had a period when you went through a marrow test, excruciatingly painful, and you said, I have control over this, so I'm going to work with this. And that's where your Pleiades came in handy. And then you became aware of the fact that you were now in for the fight of your life. The fight of your life. What was the next step that you decided you were going to take to work with your body?
Well, I did learn how powerful the breath was. And, you know, we can do a couple of quick examples, but think of a woman that exactly she's in labor and she's having this horrific pain. And what do? We breathe through the pain. And that breath can take you to different places. And we can get through pretty much anything, but we have to be focused. So the crucial, most critical part of whatever healing or whatever was going on was I needed to get strong in my mind. And what does that mean? I had to go to those places in my brain, and I had to shift whatever thinking I had. So if I was going to a dark place, I had to learn how do I shift it to a better place. And I have a funny story. My mom and I were going down. I was getting another CT scan, and I'm very claustrophobic, and we were in this hospital where there was a basement and there's no windows, and I'm reading all these signs going to have my CT scan, and I could feel myself starting to panic, and she felt me get all tense, and she's like, what's the matter? What's going on? I said, I am freaking out right now. I am in a basement. I'm going to have this scary test. I'm beside myself. And she said, well, what's the worst thing? What are you feeling? And I said, I don't like what these signs are saying. And she looks at me, and it was the funniest thing. She said, well, just stop reading them.
Oh, I love common sense. Just stop reading them. Gee whiz, is that simple?
And I looked at her because, I mean, they were up above, you know, on the ceiling, and each sign was, you know, infusion or this. And I looked at her, and I said, you're so right. I'm just not going to read what they're saying. And then we laughed, and that created a whole other shift in my body. And it all started to make sense that I could either go to those places where, and I'll tell you, I stayed on the internet and read my death sentence many times,
mm-hmm.
or I could figure out ways that could get me in a better place. And so I focused more on the positive of what I was going to, of my results.
Now, you utilized Reiki. Your mother was very well read about many alternative therapies, and so she encouraged you to explore the Reiki, the acupuncture, and I had to chuckle when you received a tea with directions, a Chinese tea, and you were your pity me meter was an all-time high. I just love that description. And they told you, you have to drink this tea the way you're told to drink it. And gee whiz. Everything inside of you said, drink the tea, drink the tea, drink the tea, because it's going to make a difference. And finally, you started drinking the tea, and it just made some wonderful changes. But you come into the positioning of expressing information about stress. And mm-hmm. one of the points of detail in your book is stress causes over 90% of diseases. Not 90, 70%, excuse me,
correct.
I'll correct myself, 70% yeah. of diseases. And I can relate to that because I remember certain experiences in my life, and in retrospect, actually, it was something that taught me at a very young age that I was in environments that were not healthy for me, and my body was telling me, "This, you better change your tune, you better change your environment." And that's what was happening with you. Now, you had suppressed anger, a lot of negative emotions, and someone said, gee whiz, I guess if something happens to me, I just go see a psychiatrist. But it's more than that. You had to deal with it. You had to go through the understanding of becoming aware of who you are and what you needed to deal with. That was pretty challenging for you, wasn't it?
Yes, and I want to clarify a couple of things that you said. First of all, when I did get sick, I got on the plane. She looked at me and she said, "Make sure you go get some acupuncture." And I looked at her and I said, "Mom, I have cancer." She said, "Go get acupuncture and get some massages." That was a blessing. Because what she was trying to tell me was acupuncture is going to help de-stress your body. Lori, you need to get all stress out of your mind, your body, and your soul. And until we do that, your body cannot heal. So when I did the acupuncture, that's when they gave me the tea, but I want to clarify this. The tea was medicine. It's not just you go to the market and you buy some teas. This is traditional Chinese medicine. This is medicine that's been around for thousands of years, and the formula was designed to help support my liver and my spleen, because really I was very sick in my spleen as well.
Mm-hmm.
This all made sense. It also made sense. Yes, I had stress. I actually, as a little girl, the biggest thing was I had a lot of anxiety. And part of that was just, it was a culmination all through my life. I had many things that occurred. And so, again, when we're in chronic stress in our body, it doesn't allow us to heal. It's kind of like you have to learn how to shut off your mind. You know, when you lie in bed at night sometimes and your mind is just ruminating,
mm-hmm.
and those messages mm-hmm. are like going over and over. So another key thing I learned, it's like when those messages are coming in, you just got to say, shut up.
I know we're just about out of time, Lori, but I want to quote from your book this, because it dovetails with what you've just expressed. You said, "The more junk I get out of my trunk, the truer that voice becomes, because the voice is my core." That's your inner voice. "It is me. I believe in my power. And I hope you will find the way to believe in yours." Lori Beck, this book is just marvelous. And I think that, again, and I said this right at the top of the interview, I really feel that it takes a lot of courage to have honesty and integrity about what the battle has caused you to engage in. And I love the photo of you on the front of your book. You've got the victory sign. And you said, "Surviving incurable cancer without killing my mother, my granny, or my ex." And that's the little subtitle that goes along with it. What is your website, Lori, that people can go to find out more?
It's actually my name, Lori Beck, which is LauriBeck. This book is not just about cancer. That's really, it's about life struggles and what are the 8 lessons I learned so that I could share them with everybody else.
Well, Lori, you've done an incredibly fine job. It is something not just for the mind, but for the heart, the spirit, and the soul. And I think that this is just a very powerful story. Thank you for being my guest today. And this is Donna Sebo. Check out LauriBeck.com. I think you'll find this very powerful, and if you know of someone that's going through a challenge of any kind, this is a real story. This is a real person with some pretty insightful things that she can share. Don't give up hope. Realize life is for the living, and she's still here, a testimonial to how you handle things. Well, it's up to you. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. To see more details, God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I'm so delighted that you have been able to enjoy Lori Beck's story. And I want to share another one with you, because before we had, I started to tell you about Hannah. And this is a young lady in New York. She's 22 years of age, for those of you that have just tuned in. Hannah was just feeling overwhelmed. She was in her dream environment and just feeling like she was like a deer looking at headlights, coming on hard and fast, blinded by it all. Well, she happened to be at a location where she sees a woman that's not too far away from her, and it's sort of like at a bus stop, and she's just looking at this woman, and this woman has circles under her eyes. She's just totally exhausted. Well, Hannah happened to have a notebook, and she decided she was going to write a letter to this woman of encouragement, and she just poured out her feelings, because she was just feeling absolutely lost. And this is how she ended the little note to the woman. She said, "I know things may not be great right now, but you are beautiful. You matter." And she underscored the two words, "you matter." Well, the woman was gone. She handed her the note. Bus came by. She's gone. But in doing that, Hannah just felt like her spirits got lifted. And she said, "You know what? I wish somebody would say those words to me." Well, when she got on the bus, she said to herself, "You know what? I think I'm going to write another note." So she left the note on the seat, hoping whoever would sit down in her place after she got off the bus, that the kind words that she wrote would make a difference. Well, when she did that, she just felt good. She felt good all over. And she said when she got back to her place where she was staying, she got a letter from her mom. And her mom in the letter said, "You can do this. You're stronger than you know." So mom was encouraging her daughter to not be overwhelmed. And this was just very timely. And Hannah said, "I didn't realize the power of a letter." She said, "This was a letter from my mom that was reminding me, one, that I was loved, and that we live in a world that has a lot of good in it." So Hannah started a project. Well, maybe you've already guessed it. She decided she was going to leave notes of positive words and thinking wherever she went. All anonymous. This is what she did. She left one on a chair in a coffee shop. She put one in a book on a library. She put them in the bottom of shopping carts at the grocery store. And this is what she would write. "I know things might not be going so great right now, but can you listen to me for just a second? Sure, sometimes you mess up, but we all do it. It's life. But more often than not, more than you realize, you bring something valuable to the world every day. That is priceless." Now, Hannah took another step. She started blogging about her feel-good project. The response she got back from people was amazing. They thought she was amazing. Within 24 hours after she started blogging, she got a lot of requests asking her to write a letter to someone in need of a dose of cheer. So this is the next step that Hannah took. Talk about blossoming. Well, Hannah was doing that.
She created The World Needs More Love Letters. In fact, her site is moreloveletters.com. She decided this would be a mission to spread love through heartfelt, handwritten, not typed, text, or tweeted letters. Mm-hmm. The old-fashioned way. Well, she would just write. She just wrote and wrote and wrote. This is one of the things she wrote. "This love letter is for you," and "you" was underscored. "I'm just like you. I have dreams and goals, but sometimes life's obstacles get in the way. Know that challenges make you stronger and wiser." Well, this was amazing. And a woman wrote her and said, "When you go through something hard, at the end of the day, you feel so alone. So to know someone is out there and cares, it restores your faith in humanity." People were asking for these letters, and others decided they wanted to be a contributor. Now, right now, Hannah has about 12 or more people who help send love letters to people across the globe, as well as leaving them hidden in various places, anonymous. They're just putting out the beauty of the good that they want to express. Hannah said, "Sometimes I think it's not the people who find the letter, it's the letter that finds the person who needs it. Words are a powerful thing. We don't all have the time or money to give a lot, but every one of us can share a kind word that will light the path of someone who needs it." Wow. What a wonderful accomplishment. How many times has a thoughtful expression by someone changed your mind, made you realize that you can get through some difficult things? I know there have been wonderful people in my life who, gee whiz, I wasn't going to ever see them again because of a thoughtful, kind action. But words, that's how we communicate. That's how it makes a difference. And what I like is Hannah writing it down. You see, there's power in the written word. So many people today think, oh, it doesn't make any difference, but it does. I had a friend who, for I don't know how many years, on my birthday would always send me a card and always pen something very special inside. It's that writing. I got a beautiful letter from one of my listeners yesterday. She wrote 3 pages. It made my day. And Pat in Connecticut, if you're listening, I want you to know it was wonderful. Thank you so very, very much. But she took the time to write out what she felt. She could have emailed me, but it was more important to her that she write it. And that letter is treasured. That letter will be saved. This is what we can do. And maybe you'd like to follow Hannah's example. What would you like to hear? Put in the letter, whether it's something uplifting to help you through a tough situation or just something fun to read on your in your mundane commute. What would you like to let somebody else know about? You can leave a letter for a stranger. You can, want maybe to put on the outside of an envelope, "If you find me, pick me up." Believe it or not, people love things that are spontaneous. And when they pick up that envelope, they'll go, "Wow." I had someone do that for me. They left a note on the windshield of my car. And it was filled with balloons, and they said, "You're making a difference. Thank you for being you." Those kinds of gifts, you'll treasure them. So you can do it for someone else. This is Donna Sebo. Tomorrow we have got a dynamic guest, and it's Travis Waters. We're going to be talking about the West Coast Kid. And this is a trip into a man's life experience. Believe me, it's the dark side. But it's something worth hearing about, because it's a lesson to be passed on to young people of all ages, but more importantly, making us aware that we can change our lives. We can change them, even if it seems like it would be impossible to do so. Won't you join me tomorrow? Tell your friends I'd love to have you here. And here, Travis, remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It's been a delight. You have a magnificent day. I know I'm going to have one. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.